Should I say good morning or like Calvin said, good night or what? Good evening? Good morning, brothers and sisters. Thank God that we have a chance to gather again this morning. I always remember while I was in high school that was in Hong Kong, maybe in grade, compared to here, is grade 8 or grade 9, I forgot. No, grade 7. Yeah, right, the first year, the grade 7. Everyone of you know that I know no music. I cannot read notes. When I sing, I am always out of tune. And that year, that music teacher manifest that so much in my life. In case you do not know, usually in Hong Kong, every Christmas time, every class will learn some Christmas song, and then every class will go up in the weekly meeting of the whole school, and will sing and compete. And I deeply remember after a few practice that Mr. Teacher told me in front of the whole class, Aiden, when we go up to compete to sing, you can open your mouth but do not make noise. Since that day, I didn't sing publicly. Well, I sing in my room, in the bathroom, in my heart, but I never sing properly until I accept Jesus Christ. He freed me from myself. So while I was sitting down there, looking at Michelle playing the piano and singing, and then Maria also, she always play and sing at the same time. Oh, I really envy them. Oh, how I wish I can pray and sing. Because songs like this in 227, because I always sing out of tune, I can hear it myself. So when I sing at home myself, yuck. Because I didn't sing it right. But with the guidance of a piano, I can, well, maybe make it about 80% right. I have a piano at home that was for Jay. If he is home, he will play it a few times. Maybe the first night he came back this time, he played for a while. Oh, what a beautiful sound. Kevin knows some piano too, but I didn't hear him play anymore. Leah and me do not know anything. I only know Do Re Mi. Right, that is it. So I can play Do Re Mi. It is not music, just noise. Not music, noise only. But how? So whenever when I look at people playing piano, I think, how come I do not know how to play piano? I still remember when I was a kid, about 12 years old. My older sister, she was about 20 at that time. She bought herself a piano and she started to take lessons. Because, you know, my parents are kind of really old-style parents, not like modern-day parents. They force their kids to learn piano. No, to them, well, piano is just a luxury and noise at home. So they never talk about it. So my older sister bought herself a piano and then take lesson. And then one day, she asked me, do you want to try? I said, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, I try. But after 5 minutes, I said, oh, boring. So I just get up and never touch it again. So sometimes when I record that, so how I wish at that time someone forced me to stay longer. Maybe I can play like the pianist now. I can play and sing together at the same time. Well, that is not the topic I want to share today. But It is unbelievable that it is already 1 week after Peter and Jemima's wedding. It was 7 days, last week today, last week afternoon today, that they were getting married. It seems to me just 2 days ago. How I wish we can repeat the same thing this afternoon. We all have fun together, especially with Kevin and David, for photo. We know we all have fun together. But the point is, time passed, you can never get it back. So, strange enough, time is the thing we most watch for every day, time and time again, right? You watch time to get up, to go to school, to go to work. You watch the time to do your homework, for your exam, for your project. When for those who are working, we have to meet deadline. Those are times of the day and weeks and year. But time is the thing always slip by us without noticing it, right? That is 15 minutes. That's half an hour. That is 1 day. That is 1 month. Now, look at here. Today is what? September 7th. Okay. September 7th. I still remember January 1st while we are doing the Thanksgiving meeting. Oh boy, it is already more than 8 months. But at the same time, every day we are making new challenges. We are meeting new requirements in our lives. Just like Peter and Jemima, they get married last week. Last Sunday, they were the newlywed. Okay, today they are the 1 week newlywed. Soon enough, 1 month passed, 1 year passed. To me, 25 years passed. Newlywed. We all have a new beginning. Either this or that. For those students, okay, maybe most of you start your school on Tuesday, so you already have 1 week. And then while we were coming, I asked my two passengers, do they have any project due? They said, well, almost. So only 1 week, you are already facing new challenges already. So students are always the more privileged one, because it seems to me they have at least two new beginnings. That is January 1, you have a calendar new beginning, and then September, you have a academic year new beginning. I do believe in Canada, most of you will get promoted to a higher grade, right? Okay, those of you graduate from secondary school, you go into university. So some of you going into a new class, some of you going into a new school, some of you going into a new level. Everything, every day, no matter who we are, where we are, what are we doing, we are making new choices. We are making new beginnings. We all have our ideas or perhaps insights about life. No matter if it's good or bad, or not good, not bad, indifference. These ideas are generally formed by experience of our lives in the past, rather than by being told. Think of it. My mom keep on telling me things since I know language. But I can recall not that many things that I learned I am doing today is from her saying. Most of my decision making points are from my life learning. So I still remember a few years back While Brother Sun was in our midst one time, I forgot what he was saying that day, but I remember what he said. He said, I was serving the Lord for almost 30 years at that time, a few years back. So currently, if I have one preaching, one sermon once a week for 30 years, 52 weeks, there is over 1,500 messages. And those are not including sharings with brothers and sisters, things like that. So if he added up maybe 2,000-3,000 or 3,000-4,000 messages. He said, I look around. Does brothers and sisters change? He said, no, the same. Brothers and sisters did not change. So he said, he was sitting there, he said, then I asked myself, should I keep on going preaching or just give up? He said, no, I should keep on preaching. Why? Because God is faithful. He can be trusted. Man cannot always be trusted. People will fail, even the best of us, but God will never fail. He will never change. He will never fail us, most of. In the First Corinthians, God said, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. And also in 2 Timothy, it says, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. I think that is the point of Brother Sun that day. Even though we do not see changes among brothers and sisters, he has the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So he keep on preaching. So, maybe what I'm going to say this morning doesn't make any impact in your life. But I do believe God is faithful. So for a new beginning, when we go to a new beginning, usually humanly, we were taught since grade school, we will look back and then we will plan ahead. Remember, while you were in a lower grade, usually your teacher will tell you to write your New Year resolution, or in a new school year, the teacher will tell you to write a composition, what is your plan for this coming year. So that is our way being taught that we should look back and plan ahead. But when we plan ahead, what should we do? So let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Let's read verse 12 to 14. Can I have Amber read for us? In here, Apostle Paul talking about press on. Press on. Towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. This word press on doesn't mean that we go to a computer keyboard, we just type on the keyboard, or we go to an elevator to press the button. Press on here actually means struggle fiercely with effort. Press on towards the goal to win the prize, to obtain the prize for which God has called me to obtain in heaven. Sometimes, as human beings, we plan things, something easily. Sometimes we plan other things not that easy, or we just ignore it. Planning what you are going to eat, it is easy, right? Just go out to eat barbecue chicken, fried chicken, barbecue pork, barbecue duck. Sorry about all the meats. No vegetable. But planning what you are going to live for the rest of your life is not that easy. Some people plan well at something, but some other people may not plan anything at all. In the book of James, he said, "Now listen, some of you say that, oh, tomorrow, well, I just paraphrase it. I will go to this place to do this for a year, and then I will make my money." But James said, "Do you know that what will happen tomorrow? You didn't even know. You can't control it. You are just a mist that appears for a little time and then vanish. Boop, you are gone." Instead, we ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we'll live and do this and that. James is speaking of people who make their business plan but fail to plan for eventual death. He said, we plan to be graduate next year, just like Titus, hopefully. Or just like Solomon just get into university, I plan to graduate in 4 years. That is our plan. But what is our lifelong plan? Our plan before God? Do we have a plan? Or do we just get up in the morning, say our short prayer, and then go to do my own thing? At night, before we go to bed, we say a short few sentences, and that's it? That is our daily plan. So our plan is no plan. While people are young, making a living, raising children, etc., etc., they don't think about their eventual death and make plans for it. But actually, all our life on earth planning is planning for death. Think of it. Isn't it true? While I was young, I planned to go to school. I plan to do this. I plan to go to after my I graduate, I plan to go to somewhere else to study. Then while I was almost finished, I plan what job should I get. And then by the time comes, look at myself, oh, should I get married? So then I get married. So should I have kids? So I have kids. So actually what? I am planning for my last day on earth. Is it sorrowful? Hopeless? But there is only one sure way, is to seek the Lord that will help us to plan for eternity. Pray, read the scripture, go to church, serve Him, and serving each other, accept Him as our Lord Jesus Christ, surrender to Him, obey his teachings, and being baptized. Okay, well, maybe all of you here are already baptized already. During Peter's wedding banquet, I was talking to someone, and because every time I met him, I asked him, "Do you really accept the Lord?" I said, "Oh yes, He's all here." So I said, "When will you get baptized?" "Oh, no need, no need. Isn't it true that if I accept Him, that is good enough?" So I spent 10 minutes talking to him that he should get baptized. So, being accepted to law is really good, but when we have a chance on earth to witness for him, to get baptized, that is one way to obey our Lord. In John 14, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So that means, once again, we go back to the center of our focus is Jesus Christ. There is rightfully only one way to plan ahead in life. We must seek our Lord Jesus Christ in all things and seek to know him personally. To me, that is planning. So, with this new year, we may have a lot of planning to do so many things, but I encourage every one of us to plan our spiritual life. Once again, do not tarry. Do not let our daily activity to hinder us to walk accordingly in our plan. That is the plan of our Lord Jesus Christ. We waste our time, we squander our time, thought and talent on earth's matter, in our school studies, in our work, our project, our activities. Do we ever give God some time? Do we tell him that I love you because you love me first? I want to spend more time with you. Just like the two songs that we sang. It was a really, really good combination to me. I picked the song, the 270 myself. David picked the 227. When I sing forward, I love it. Do we have the desire to put our God be the supreme one in our life? Do we love our God as the basis of putting him supreme? Or do we just doing a mouth service? While we were singing these two hymns, did your heart inside of us vibrate with him together? God asks us to seek the eternal things, but quite often we seek the temporal things. That is not what God wants us to do. But when we talk about plan ahead, so many times when we plan ahead, we have to look back. As an accountant, now we are at a crossroad in Canada because, well, you guys do not know, because in a few years down the road, Canada will use the international standard. Well, not being going too technical, because accountant used to be looking in the past data to project to the future. At least that is Canadian system. We call it what? Conservatism. We call it matching. Well, sorry about all the terms. But without solid past data, we do not believe we will project to the future with comfortably, I should say, not assurance. That is why when we move into the new accounting standard, there are some element in there needs some present value evaluation. So, while I was reading those new standard, it will happen in a few years down the road, I'm asking myself, in my spiritual life, am I doing the same thing? Am I looking at the present value of my life and project down the road until I see our Lord? Or am I just looking back what happened in the past 10 years, 20 years, and then project my life down the road? Obviously, after a soul searching, I agree with the international standard of accounting. Is I should look at the present value, not the past. My past, I may fail, I may be weak, or my past, I may be very successful in the Lord. I may serve others with full spirit help, but it doesn't make any attribute to today who I am and who I will be in the future. So my look back is in Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. That is his look back. But I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. To me, very important word here, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Forgetting. That means what has happened in the past, no matter good or bad, period, gone. Now it is my turning point. So we have the love of God in us. He died on the cross for us. Nothing will hinder us to go in Him. Good in some ways and not so good in other ways. Paul said he was not perfect or he has not made perfect. In spite of his imperfection, the Apostle Paul said, I press on, I forget what is behind. And to be positive, I going forward what is ahead. We should forget those things that are behind. I'm not talking about people, I'm talking about things happen, events happen in the past, in our lives. To make progress in the future, we can't linger too long in the past. Sometimes our bad past or good past hinder our present lives. There may be some bad things happen to us that we haven't cleaned up or haven't cleared up, haven't strengthened out, but we still have to move forward. We must forget about them and get on with our lives. If we can reconcile things in the past, so be it. But if we cannot, just like what Paul said here, forget it. Just keep on moving. We still have to go forward. We must forget about them and go get on with our lives. If a person can reconcile something in the past, okay, as I said, that is good. But if we cannot, or something that is impossible, then just forget it. Start a new beginning. We all recognize that bad things or sometimes good things will hinder us in the future. And we must take action now. Otherwise, these past things will keep on dragging us back to the original state. We will not grow in Christ. Maybe Paul thinks of good
good thing of himself, like a self-righteous Pharisee.
But he realized that he had to forget that, even though he is the best among his peer at that time. To us, it is good, right? Just like if now I got to be nominated to be the best swimmer in Vancouver. Okay, I feel good about it. But those will not help me in eternity. I have to forget that. Maybe one day I will be a pianist performer. Okay, those good things, forget it, put it aside. It will hinder my eternal life in God, in Christ Jesus. If we have done good in the past, thank God, and just put it there, keep on moving. If we have done bad things, we have witnessed, we failed in the past, just ask for God's forgiveness and leave it there. We move forward. We are talking about a new beginning. Don't let those past things keep on dragging on us. We have looked back in the past. We know that we have to forget it, leave it there. And then we know that we have to plan ahead in God, in Christ. Then the next question is, how should I do it? If I have to plan in Christ, then what will be the detail? Is there any possible practical steps I can do? So I try to formulate a few points that we can encourage each other. Okay. The first point, I already said it. It is just forget the past, no matter it is good or bad, and keep on moving forward. That is our commitment to ourselves. I find that so many times, well, maybe I say some negative things all the time, but isn't it true in our life so many times we are our own finger pointer? We do not forgive ourselves. No one say anything about us, but while we were alone by ourselves, we think back something, we just criticize ourselves. We do not forgive ourselves. So, one commitment I encourage we all do together is forgive ourselves. Why? Because God already forgave us. Why should I judge myself? Why should I sentence myself day and night, again and again, because of the past? God has already redeemed us on the cross. His blood already saved us, lived us from our sins, from our transgressions. So just forgive ourselves. The second point is to commit ourselves to give up our own grudges. The grudges from Colossians chapter 3 verse 13, God wants us to raise to the challenge if we want to make this new beginning a significant turning point in our lives. It says, bear with each other and forgive each other whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Because he died on the cross, nothing cannot be forgiven. The only question is, are we willing? Are we willing to forgive others? Are we willing to forgive ourselves? God, in those words, is challenging us directly and personally to give up our grudges.
That is what he meant when he said, forgive each other whenever grievance you may have against one another. Actually, what is a grudge? A grudge is a deep ongoing resentment that we cultivate in our hearts against someone else or against ourselves. It is an unforgiving spirit that leads to unforgiving attitude and unforgiving action. Not only to others, once again, to myself. Now I know that harboring a grudge is about nursing a dislike. Grudges destroy marriage, break up families, ruin friendship, or sometimes even split churches. Well, let us be honest to each other. Sometimes we find that the most frequent problem in the church is the crisis of Christians against each other. Today, if we hold on a grudge against someone, then God has something to say to us. He says, give it up. Let it go. Don't hold on to it. I want to remind you that the grudges are not only destructive, they are also self-destructive. When we hold a grudge against someone, we will hurt ourselves as much as the one we hold grudges against. Make no mistake about it. If you keep harboring a grudge inside of yourself, it will eventually destroy you. If not physically, but actually sometimes physically too, but at least emotionally and spiritually. For a long, long, long time, I really dislike a sister. So the moment I saw her walking towards me, I would turn around, walk the other direction. While she was sitting on here, I would never walk to that corner. While she was talking, I would purposely shut up my ear. When I know that she will go to this function, if I can, I will never show up myself. But you know what? That is the fire of hatred burning inside me to hinder my spiritual life before God, hinder my emotion to the people around me. Because whenever I think of her, my hatred comes up. That is self-destruction. Do you remember that parable that Jesus told about that servant who was forgiven a huge sum by the master, by the king, and then refused to forgive a tiny, tiny debt of his peer, co-worker? What Jesus said in that parable? He said, he has an unforgiving spirit that will land him in prison. So he was thrown in prison. So therefore, one writer writes like this. The unforgiving servant always end up in prison. But what kind of prison is that? Prison of anger, prison of guilt, and prison of depression. That was me. When I look at her, anger, and then right after guilt, oh, I shouldn't do that. And then depression, because I did it every time. How can I overcome that? No, I cannot overcome that. But by the blood of Christ, by going back to him to admit my sin, gradually, it washes away. That is the only way we can face it. That is by his blood. God says to you in his word, don't sentence yourself to prison.
as I said before, sometimes it is not someone else,
it is we are talking about ourselves. We do not forgive ourselves.
So set ourselves free. Give up your crutches. Forgive each other, including
ourselves, whatever grievance we may have against one another, against ourselves.
According to God, to give up a grudge is to forgive a grievance.
He isn't asked us to ignore that person. He didn't ask us to ignore what he or she has done. He didn't ask us to pretend nothing has happened. But he asked us to forgive.
That means to acknowledge how wrong and painful that person has done to you or to me. But to decide to forgive that person who has did me wrong. I'm absolutely certain that there are people here, well, including myself, who need to give up our grudges and forgive the grievance that others, or maybe myself, did to me or yourself.
Some of us have to forgive our children as a parent. Well, I have to forgive my children, no matter I'm right or wrong. Or some of you have to forgive your parents for what they have done or what they haven't done. Some of you need to give up the crutches that stem from the argument, well, with someone else. Probably give up crutches that you have against other people in the assembly, just like me. God says that deep-seated resentment you have against that person has to go away. Now, after hearing all this, don't tell God that I cannot forgive, because you really mean that you do not want to forgive. But Christ already died on the cross for us. That is the point I keep on saying to myself. Christ already died on the cross for me and for her. What kind of grudges I can hold up against her? Because Christ has already forgiven her. If Christ can forgive my sin, then I can forgive others. Now the question is, will you or will me willing to do that? The third thing is to commit ourselves to restore the relationship to the people around us. In Romans 12, it says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peacefully with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals, the fire, the coals of fire on his head. That is the way our Lord wants us to treat our enemy. If he is hungry, okay, to me, you are hungry, too bad, I have a barbecue chicken. I'm so tasty. No, God said, feed him. Thirsty, give him a drink. By doing this, to meet your enemy's need. This enemy may be your boss in the office, maybe your co-workers, your first year in university, maybe your future prof. I learned that myself. Things like that. Maybe ourselves. So, says, in here it says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. On Friday night, a sister shared about her work condition. She said, when she first started working in that place, she feels that everyone is against her. She almost wants to quit. But after going back before the Lord, she realized that that is her relationship with God is not right. Therefore, she correct her relationship. She restore her relationship with God. Then now she has quite a good relationship with her co-worker. That is the way we have to do. We do not point fingers to others. So many times it's ourselves. What is our relationship with our Lord? So, remember last week, Brother Wong, well, I thought he shared in the second meeting, you guys won't hear it. He called some other brothers saying, say, peace with God, peace with man, peace with everything. That is the order. That is the only way we can be peace with man. That is the only way we can be peace with everything. Is first, we have to be peace with God. So Friday night I share that I learned this in a beautiful way. One time, at least I myself think that I was in such a good relationship with God, with our Lord, in those short period while I was walking in the street, a bus passed by me, smell good for those exhaust gas. That is real. Okay, it may be funny, but believe me, that is real. Oh, so good. When you look around, no matter how bad the scenery is, oh, beautiful. The most irritable person just walk by you, is, oh, I love that person. That totally changed our perspective to the things around us, no matter it's person or thing. So peace with God, that is the most important thing. So that is a thermometer there. Once we find that something is wrong around us, go back to ask God, am I right with you now? Most of the time, I can for sure tell you, we are not right with God. So just restore our relationship. But of course, not only to God, also to the person around us. I have to cut short. Okay. And the fourth one is commit ourselves to turn our back to the transgressions. This is a very practical one. I almost hesitate not to mention this, but I think I need it because most of you are young people. Christ died to set us free. The Holy Spirit has given us the power to be free. But yet, we act like slaves. Go back to the old master, the sin. We do not want to live sin. Even though there is a way for us to be free, we still dwell in sin. In Romans chapter 6, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. No longer dwell in sin. Therefore, For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. We have the resurrection power, the life inside of us. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, the Christ, that the body of sin may be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who died has been freed from sin. That is Roman. That is why I always encourage young people to read when prepare, at least to understand the surface word of Roman. That is our way to deal with sin today in our lives. Also, there is a book by Brother Nee, Normal Christian Life. That is a really good book. I don't know how many of you have read that book. Okay, I encourage you to read that one. That will help us to understand Roman. Listen to this verse from Romans 6. The scripture says, do not let sin control the way we live. Do not give in to its lustful desire. We are no longer slaves to sin. I paraphrase it. That is the last challenge that I believe we will rise to meet God's challenge to us this morning. God says, do not let sin control us, how we live. Do not give in to the lustful desire. God is asking us to turn back on our transgressions. According to experience, including myself and so many sharings with brothers and sisters, Christians are prone to do the same sin over and over again. For most of us, when we first say, there are some certain sins that will be easily to be done away with. But there are other things that we know that are wrong, that we shouldn't have or doing. We really battled with over and over again. There is a term for it, people say, called besetting sins. Most of us end up choosing to give in because we cannot win over it. We fail all the time. And end up living a double life. On the surface, we are a Christian, but whenever we face the same problem, we are so depressed. We feel that we fail our Lord again, again, and again. That thing will cripple our spiritual life because we just learn to give in to sin. God here in his word challenged us to turn our back to the sin, whatever it is, to stop letting it control the way we live, to stop giving in to it. He wants us to stop obeying our old master. Let us be clear about that. Jesus' death broke the power of sin already. We know it in here, but we have to know it in here through our experience. The Holy Spirit can give us the power to resist sin, and all of that means that you don't have to give in. You can have the victory over it. God says you are no longer a slave to sin, so don't live one like that and act one like that. We are no longer slave of sin. Just like the hymn said, we want to be slave for Christ, for God. That is my felicity. Felicity means that is my happiness. That means we are happy to be slave of God, not slave of sin. If you will ask God to forgive our sin and his power to resist that sin, then we will enter a new era of spiritual life.
I know it is not easy.
To some of us, maybe years, decades. But I do believe, with the power of His resurrection life, with our willingness, today, this moment, we can be delivered from whatever sin in our life now. Just a forewarning to you, we may fail again, but that's okay. Christ has died on the cross for us. Whenever we fail, we can rise again. Are you willing? Are you willing to rise to those challenges? Are we willing to face the challenge of the scripture, God's word today? That we want, we are willing to forget the past and go onward, move onward for the future that God has laid hold for us. Are we willing to give up our right to hold on to the grudges? Are we willing to restore the relationship with God? Are we willing to turn our back on the transgressions? May the word of God encourage us this morning that we say all yes to Him. Yes, I want to forgive myself. Yes, I want to forget the past. Yes, I want to forgive others who have hurt me. Yes, I want to give up my right to hold on to the grievance. Yes, I want to forgive those who hurt me, if possible. It depends on myself. Then I want to forgive. And also, I want to ask God's forgiveness on the sins that I'm still holding on. Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, will help us to deliver us, leave us out from that mess. Okay. I will have a prayer together. Lord, thank you that you have died on the cross for us. You have shed the blood, deliver us from the eternal death, deliver us from the separation from God. Not only in terms of future and eternity, also in terms of today, at the present moment. Your resurrection life has dwelt in us that we can overcome. Lord, just give us the willingness to go back to you, to go inside, to ask for forgiveness. And we will rise from your forgiven love that we can face all the temptation of this world, all the weakness that is from the old self. Lord, we trust that you are faithful. You will accomplish all the things that you want to accomplish in us. We give our thanksgiving and praises to you. In the name of Jesus.